Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 511th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time, your home for lowest priced last minute tickets. Download the Game Time app today and use promo code SGPN for $20 off. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play Underdog's Pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry. Use promo code SGPN at UnderdogFantasy.com for a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 511 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode is going out to our dogs, Gummy's dogs, my dogs, because they're going to be good little puppies and they're not going to bark this episode at all. At wild turkeys or at people walking down the street or at nothing, because they tend to bark at nothing. And yeah, thanks for coming to the show. I'm your host, Jeff Chalks Fox. Speaking of dogs, it may be the last mention of dogs by me on this episode. We'll have to wait and see. A chalky card, if you ask me, but I'm sure my co-host will find some wild dogs to take swings at. Or of course, talk about UFC Fight Night, Moreno versus Roybal, part two, episode two. And the fight is also a rematch, part two. Part one of our episode yesterday's, we covered all the prelim fights, disagreed on a couple, which makes things interesting. So get back and listen to that or watch it on YouTube and subscribe while you're at it. Today, we got six main fight cards going down from Arena CDMX in Mexico City, Mexico. Let's bring in our man, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He'll let us know what that arena is like. Hello, Gumby.
I've never been there.
Really?
Okay. I will reemphasize that you guys should subscribe because when we look at our data on YouTube, it says roughly 52% of our listeners are not subscribed. So is there any reason? Why not? It doesn't ruin your life. There's if you're listening right now or watching or doing whatever, just hit that button. You don't even have to turn notifications on. It doesn't even give you alerts. You can do that if you want, but you don't even need alerts. You could just hit subscribe. It makes my life better. It makes Jeff's life better. It makes the boss's lives better. So like, there's no reason not to, I would say.
Do you like grandma content? Hit subscribe. That's the place for you.
Oh yeah, we got grandma content.
Yeah, our most viral video, most popular video is
me calling an old lady a grandma.
Grandma, she old lady could probably beat you up, Gumby. But yes, we're talking about the main card today of UFC Fight Night. Thoughts on the main card? Thoughts on odds? Just overall thoughts, Gumby. Is there anything in your brain?
No, I just think this fight card was a lot of fighters who I was waiting to see their next step, and luckily we're getting it. So that's kind of exciting.
Yep, that is true. Should we jump right into it while the dogs are quiet?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right. So this, of course, I already told you where it's going down. It's this Saturday, as per usual, February the 24th, Arena CDMX. Actually, rematches in the top two fights of the night. So interesting one.
Both of them ended by injury too, which is another weird thing. Shoulder injuries.
Yes. There you go. Very rare. So obviously we need to do it again. All right. We're going to start off with not a rematch. Lightweights, Manuel Torres versus Chris Duncan. And I shall tell you about Duncan first. The problem is the nickname. He shall be Torres's problem on Saturday. 11-1, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once. 2-0 in the UFC. He's part of a 4-fight winning streak. He's not lost since October of 2021. That was on Contender Series. He went 1-1 on Contender Series. He used to fight at welterweight, 3-0 on Bellator, was regional champion. Better grappling stats than Torres, and he's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 1.34 strikes per minute, plus 155. El Loco is Torres. 14-2, excuse me. I just made him go on a 3-fight losing streak. 14-2, 7 knockouts, 6 submissions, so he's a finisher. He's been submitted twice. He owes his rounds. That all adds up to rounds. 2-0 in the UFC. He's won 5 straight and 6 of 7. All 5 of those wins I have spoke about have come via finish. Because that's what he does. He's not lost since September 2019. 1-0 in Contender Series, was regional champion. Used to fight at featherweight. A 2014 pro MMA debut. 2 inches of reach, 2 years younger than Duncan. Striking stats, more active landing strikes. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by and Contender Series opponents by, get this number, 5.9 strikes per minute. The man puts it on people. Minus 150. I watch film to remind me of Torres. Yeah, Torres is a pick here. Just the striking and the power. Really like that. And Duncan has gotten rocked in fights before. He's come back and won fights where he's gotten rocked, but he doesn't exactly have
it. He gets touched.
Yes, he gets touched. He gets hit. And Torres is not a guy you want to get hit by. And he's a finisher on the ground too, if need be. But Torres has been picked. I like the number.
Yeah, and I think the key there is how hittable Chris Duncan is. Mm-hmm. For me, that's all you need to know, because Manuel Torres here, he's a guy who, like you said, crazy knockout power. You know, those striking numbers seem inflated. You know, like you said, what did he outstruck guys by, like 1.5 billion strikes?
Almost 6, yeah.
It's largely just because the fights don't last very long. And yeah. I know some people are worried about that. But Duncan, despite being a guy who took bombs from Charlie Campbell, right? Like Charlie Campbell drilled him with some shots. Yep. He was about to go out. Like, you can say that his chin held up, but it was about to not hold up anymore. It was going to take one more punch for him to fall. And he's lucky he landed the nuke the other way, right? Because, like, that's the thing about when you're talking about somebody's chin. You want to know that it will recover, right? You want to know, Marab. Like, let's take Marab from last Saturday. He got hit by that punch by Cejudo, wobbled a little bit. He got hit by a punch by Marlon Moraes the time before. And then he fought 2 more rounds. Duncan, when he got wobbled by Charlie Campbell, fought 2 more seconds. Not 2 more rounds, 2 more seconds.
Yes.
So we don't know that it would have held up. And if you want to go back to his Slava Claus fight, it didn't hold up. He got hit once and he went down. And I think with Manuel Torres, like, the guy's coming off of back-to-back KO of the night bonuses, or performance of the night bonuses, whatever we call them nowadays. And I think, you know, it's proven he's got that heat-seeking missile. I think Duncan is going to oblige him in the kind of fight he wants early on. And I think Torres, too, being a guy who trains at elevation, despite the fact that he has not gone deep into fights, I think he'll be fine. So give me Torres. I like the early knockouts, too.
Yep, definitely Torres is our pick here. All right, let's get another fight in before I tell you about some of our friends that are putting us in your ears and eye holes. Women's strawweight, this would be. No flyweights until we get to the main event. All the flyweights were on yesterday's show. This is women's strawweight. Yasmin Yaregi versus Sam Hughes.
Ha-Reggie,
that's right. Ha-Reggie versus Sam Ha-Hughes. You can call her Sam Page, though. She's 8-5, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted once. 3-4 in the UFC, 3-1 over her last 4. She was on the verge, you would guess, of getting cut, and she's turned things around in a big way. Didn't see that coming. Did win her last fight. Used to fight at flyweight and bantamweight, so up both 2 weight classes, 2 inches taller than Ha-Reggie. Has been outstruck in the UFC by 0.44 strikes per minute. Better grappling stats than Ha-Reggie, plus 400. Ha-Reggie, 10-1, 7 knockouts. She's been knocked out once. 2-1 in the UFC. Knockout came in her last fight against another up-and-comer. Remind the people who that was.
Denise Gomes?
Yes, put you on the spot. There's a lot of up-and-coming strawweights and flyweights. It was a regional champion, used to fight at flyweight, 7 years younger than Hughes, better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and she's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.39 strikes per minute, minus 480. Here's the big lines I was promised you yesterday. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ha-Reggie. I'm not sure I want her at this number. You said negative 480.
Yeah.
I don't think I want her at that number. I don't even want to squeeze her in a parlay at that number. I think the biggest issue for me here is that Hughes is such a gamer. And she's so physically strong that I think that could play a huge factor into this fight. I'm not off of how Reggie is a prospect after getting knocked out by Denise Gomes, as we've kind of seen with Denise Gomes. She just has that big power. And if you can last with her, you probably win that fight. And I think how Reggie probably wins it in a rematch, as long as she stays away from that big shot early. Cause I think that fight only lasted 21 seconds. So we didn't even get to see very much of it, but I think how Reggie is the better fighter here than Hughes. I think she's going to use a more complete striking skill set. I even think in the clinch, I think she's a little bit stronger. I don't want to discount that power that Hughes has. And I don't mean like punching power, but I mean like power, physically in the takedowns and up against the cage and stuff like that. But I think how Reggie just like, younger, stronger, the type of stuff that you want in a fight here. But again, the difference in their skill level is not worth almost -500. Like that's an incredibly high number for how close these two are matched up.
Yeah. I like the fighter. Don't like the number. Haregi's a pick. The striking should win it for her, but as Gumby said, Sam Page, is very, very tough. Going to be hard to finish. And she's on a nice little run here too. So don't like the number, but like I said, like the fighter, Haregi is my pick as well. One place that I do like the numbers and the fighters, that doesn't make sense, but I like the numbers here on Game Time, because you can get the great tickets, great prices, last minute. Doesn't matter how long it is before the event, you can get the tickets from Game Time, because it is the fastest grand ticket app in the country for a reason. You get images of your seat before you buy. You know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And Underdog Fantasy, we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy as per usual, and they have a way for you to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NBA, NHL, college basketball, MMA, they got it all. All you got to do is pick higher or lower on your favorite player's fantasy stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some spicy plays. Gumby, any plays for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, we just talked about this fight. We got Manuel Torres versus Chris Duncan. I talked about how he's got that power. It should end early. They have the higher or lower on minutes fought in the cage at 4.9. I'm going to say lower than on the 4.9. I think this ends inside of a round, and it shouldn't be any issue staying under that number.
All right, there you go. Watch along, make your picks, maybe make a little cash over an Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code MMA, SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code MMA, SGPN. Send a screenshot of you signing up with that to Gumby in our Discord, and you'll get some swag sent to you from Underdog.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we're going to a bantamweight fight. We thought this fight was funny when it was announced. Hopefully it's funny when we watch it.
I love it.
It's Raul Rosas Jr. versus Ricky Tercios. I'll tell you about Pretty Ricky Turcios first. He is 12-3, three knockouts, one submission. So he doesn't really finish anyone. He's only been finished once himself via knockout. 2-1 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last four. Has not won a fight since. Oh, sorry. He did win his last fight, but that was way back in November 2022. Where's he been, Gumby? I always have to ask you this.
Doing Ricky Turcio shit. He posts a lot of videos on Instagram of him singing karaoke.
Oh, so good.
I don't know what else to say other than that.
Yep.
Perfect. Just being Ricky Turcios as hell.
Exactly. 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter, and he won his season. He used to fight at featherweight, regional champion, won Noah Bellator, 2013 pro MMA debut. 4 inches of reach on Rosas, four times more active landing strikes than Rosas is. And Turcios has outstruck his UFC opponents with 1.38 strikes per minute, plus 215. This number has gone in Turcios' direction over the past day or so. Rosas Jr., El Nino Problema. We got a problema on the... on the the prelims, we got a problema. And El Nino, this is Rosas, he's their love child. Apuelish's and Quinones' love child, apparently. He's El Nino Problema. 8-1. He took both their names. 8-1, two knockouts, five submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC, won his last fight via TKO. 1-0 contender series, 1-1 as a pro grappler. 11 years younger than Turcios. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.24 strikes per minute. Better grappling stats than Turcios, minus 218. Rosas is my pick. I'm glad the number is coming back down. I think I saw it at minus 240 originally when I was breaking down this fight. Kid seems to be getting better with every fight. I'm going to call him a kid like I'm Dana White. But he actually is a kid, this guy. I like, obviously, the massive age gap and the fact they're fighting at elevation and the fact that Turcios has been out of the cage for so long. All that's going to play in Rosas' favor. Turcios may be a better striker, but he's not a guy who's going to turn anyone's lights off. So Rosas Jr. is my pick.
Do you like the fact that this is at elevation? That's a nightmare for me if I'm picking Raul Rosas because I'm not here. He does not do well late in fights. In fact, that's why he lost to Christian Rodriguez, is because he tired out. He couldn't grapple with a guy who knows how to scramble. As soon as he was forced to scramble a little bit, he was exhausted, wound up in bottom positions the whole time. You could say the same thing with this contender series fight with Mando Gutierrez. Mando Gutierrez looked better late in that fight and wound up with a lot of top positions late in that fight because Raul Rosas Jr., despite being a really young guy, does not know how to come out of the gate composed, right? He comes out of the gate like a bat out of hell. And yes, that scored him some victories, right? Like he beat Jay Perrin. Although that win hasn't aged well, being that, you know, James, you know, all he's done since then and has fought some like really bad regional level dudes and got released after that fight. He fought Terrence Mitchell and has a win over Terrence Mitchell. Also not a good win. And in that fight, he didn't even fight for a full minute. He fought for 54 seconds. His hands do look a little bit better. He tagged Terrence Mitchell, but like Terrence Mitchell is maybe not the person who I want to hang his improvements on. And here's the thing about Turcios is, you know, you mentioned, that I think this fight being at elevation is a big factor. Turcios scrambles incredibly well. He's not necessarily the greatest wrestler. Nobody will call him that. But his win over Brady Hiestand came pretty much on the heels of Brady Hiestand shooting takedowns and not winding up in the best position, which we've seen happen with Rosas Jr. getting overzealous time and time and time again. Now we're going to put him at elevation. We're going to watch him scramble a couple of times. I think you're just going to see him run out of gas. I think Rosas Jr. is going to be exhausted come the second and the third round. I think you're going to see Turcios take over. Turcios' only loss in the UFC came when he just decided not to fight Ayman Zahabi at all, which was a really weird move. But I'm going to go with Turcios here, and I'm going to say there's two other ways that I would play this other than just looking at his money line, because the money line's tempting for me. But I also really like, first of all, more and more books are offering those spreads now. Turcios plus 3.5 here, I saw listed at plus 100. It's even money on Turcios plus 3.5. Even if you like Raul Rosas Jr., I mean, Ricky Turcios has never been subbed before. He's only been finished with strikes one time, and it was on the regional scene a billion years ago. Even if you just think he can survive, he's going to win one round when Raul Rosas Jr. gets tired. So, you know, Ricky Turcios plus 3.5 is going to get you that 29-28. He's going to win that and get you even money. And I will also say this, sprinkle on Ricky Turcios gets a finish in the third round. I saw that it's plus 1,600. 16-1 that Tercios picks up an exhaustion TKO or an exhaustion sub over Rosas Jr. I like that too. So I'm not just going with Pretty Ricky, but I'm going with Pretty Ricky in a number of different ways.
Explain to the people what the 3.5 means.
So 3.5 means after you read the scorecards, you add up all three of the judges' scorecards, and then you get the extra points or have to subtract the points. So, you know, if it went 29-28 across the board, you know, that means that Raul Rosas Jr. would have won by 3 points. And if Ricky Tercios is plus 3.5, then Ricky Tercios gets the official judges' scorecards in terms of what you're doing. And then obviously if it doesn't go to the judges' scorecards, you know, whoever wins just wins. The spread doesn't wind up meaning anything. So, I mean, I guess if you think Raul Rosas Jr. is going to go out there and be the second person to finish him, by all means, go with Rosas Jr. But if you think this is going to hit the judges' scorecards, as long as nothing, you know, sways into 30-27ville, which, you know, again, I think Tercios is going to be better late in the fight. I think it's a safe way to get money on Ricky Tercios if you're not enthused enough to take the money line like I am here.
Gumby's going all in on Ricky Tercios. We'll see how that pans out for him. All right, we're going to lightweights now. Daniel Zellhuber versus Francisco Prado. I shall tell you about Prado first. 12-1, 6 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's finished everyone. He himself has never been finished. He owes his rounds regardless. 1-1 in the UFC. TKO win in his last fight. Regional champion. He's fight down at featherweight, up at welterweight. 3 years younger than Zellhuber. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.37 strikes per minute. Plus 240, the number on him. Zellhuber, golden boy. 14-1, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights, including his last one via submission. 1-0 on the contender series. He's fed at welterweight as well. 3 inches taller than Prado, 8 inches of reach on him. Better grappling stats, more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.47 strikes per minute. He's at minus 270. Gumby.
Zellhuber. You love a tall guy with good reach.
I like him too. I just like him overall.
Yeah. First of all, great guy. He was on my show this week. Really nice dude. Really thoughtful dude. I love that he's working with Eric Nixick at Extreme Couture, Dewey Cooper, all those guys. Like that's great for his career. And here's the thing is, I think some people got off of Zellhuber a little bit in that Christos Yagos fight because Christos Yagos like blitzed forward and hit him with a couple of things, which kind of shocked me. And I was like, oh man, I thought if Yagos was going to win that fight, it was definitely going to be by wrestling. And, he wound up, hitting him a little bit on the feet. I think here for me, the best part of this fight for me is that Zellhuber is a guy who, picks people apart when they don't rush him. And Francisco Prado isn't going to rush him. So as a result, I think he's just going to pick him apart from range over and over and over again, probably until he gets a TKO.
Oh, there we go. Maybe a prop play here. Zellhuber is my pick as well. Like I said, I am a fan of his and he's better than Prado. I'm also a fan of what I'm a transition to. Hall of Fame bets, of course. I'm a fan of them. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. SGPN is the code you need to know. All right, nothing but rematches. Here on forward, we're starting with the co-main event, of course, featherweights, Yair Rodriguez versus Brian Ortega, T-City, 15-3 with 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 7-3 with 1 no contest in the UFC, 0-2 over his last 2, obviously 1-3 over his last 4. He's not fought since July of 2022. That was against this very same man, Yair Rodriguez, and he injured his shoulder in that fight and lost. He's not won since October of 2020. Failed a drug test many moons ago. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. SportsGamingPodcast.com/store. I'm still wearing it. 2010 Pro MMA debut. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 2.47 strikes per minute. Plus 140. El Pantera Rodriguez. 19-4 with 1 no contest. 8 knockouts. 5 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. That's it. 10-3 in the UFC with 1 no contest. I thought there was more, but there's not. 10-3 with one no contest in the UFC. Had the interim belt, if you count such things. I don't. 2-1 over his last three. 3-2 over his last five. Got knocked out in his last fight against the champ. Or the former champ, excuse me. He's a former champ now. 2-0 on the Ultimate Fighter and the champion of that season. Also was a regional champion, so his mantle is full. 2011 pro MMA debut. 3 inches height, 2 inches reach over Ortega. A year younger. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.56 strikes per minute, minus 155. My turn, I believe. El Pantera Rodriguez is my pick. Don't like that Ortega's been off so long. Off so long and injured. Don't like he's only won one fight in the past 5 years. Don't like that Rodriguez is a way better striker than he is. Obviously, grappling, that's a different story. Rodriguez, decent grappler, but as Gumby will probably say, he can't get complacent on the ground, which could be an issue, but I just like his all-around package better and the fact that he's been more active and he's a better striker. So Rodriguez is my pick. I like the number as well.
I went with Ortega last time these two fought, and I'm going to go with him again. I think he was on his way to doing what I had predicted he would do in the last fight, which is shoot takedowns and force Yair Rodriguez to work off his back. Obviously, Rodriguez, I don't know if you want to credit him with that win, the way that he got the shoulder to pop out, if it was pulling on his arm or if Ortega was already compromised or like what it was. But I think Ortega was on his way to doing what I needed him to do in that fight. I also think he has the added advantage in this fight of it only being a 3-round fight, because that means he's got to do this wrestling game to Yair Rodriguez less often in order to win on the judges' scorecards. And in addition to that, too, Yair Rodriguez is a fighter who takes a little bit of time to get going. You know, it doesn't matter what fight you want to look back. It takes him a little bit of time to get comfortable and find his range sometimes. And I think in a fight like this, if he takes a round off early, it might just be Ortega stealing a round later with, you know, a takedown and a little bit of grappling positional work, and he wins the second or he wins the third that way after Yair took the first off. And now we're talking about a 29-28 scorecard. So obviously the time off worries me about Ortega. Maybe I'd want this line to be a little bit higher before actually pulling the trigger on Ortega, right? Plus 140, maybe not as enticing as it should be here. And it might get better by fight time. But I do think Ortega has all the skills to beat Yair Rodriguez here. You know, constantly I'm just reminded of how different their fights looked against Volkanovski. One of them just got battered to a bloody pulp and DKO'd, and the other one, I mean, almost it came as close to anybody other than Islam Makhachev and Ilia Topuria to beating it, right? Ortega is the best fight that he's ever had, and it was through the grappling, and I think he does the same thing to Yair Rodriguez here.
All right, there you go. We differed there. Let's see if we differ in the main event. Flyweights, Brandon Moreno versus Brandon Royval. The Battle of the Brandons, part two. Tell you about Raw Dog Brandon first. That would be Royval. 15-7, 5 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 5-3 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last four. Did lose his last fight. He got knocked out by Moreno back in November of 2020. Was the LFA champion. He's fight at bantamweight. 1-0 in World Series of Fighting. 2012 pro MMA debut, 2 inches height over Moreno. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.75 strikes per minute, plus 240. Moreno, the assassin baby. Still hasn't put the comma in there that he should have. 21-7-2, 5 knockouts, 11 submissions.
Grammar never jokes. Been finished.
Yep, that's a callback. Callback grammar joke. 21-7-2, 5 knockouts, 11 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 9-4-2 over 2 stints in the UFC. It shouldn't have been 2 stints. He should have never got release, but he did. Was the champion 2 times over. 2-1 over his last 3, 3-2 over his last 5. He did lose his last fight. 0-1 the Ultimate Fighter. He's fight at bantamweight. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt that I'm wearing. 2 episodes in a row. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2011 pro MMA debut for Moreno. 2 inches reach, a year younger than Royval. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.4 strikes per minute. Minus 260, a pretty big line. What was the line the first time around? Do you remember?
Definitely closer. Because yeah. Royval was on that sick run. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah, I'm going Moreno. And I'm a huge Brandon Royval fan. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put that right out there. I'm a huge Brandon Royval fan, and I'm still going Moreno. There's too many factors for me. The one of the big pieces is that Royval is the exact opposite of what I just said about Yair Rodriguez. He comes out like a bat out of hell. And in a 5-round fight against Brandon Moreno, who doesn't get finished, that's a nightmare. Because basically you're saying Brandon Royval has to win in 7.5 minutes or it's over. Moreno is going to take over late in this fight. I almost guarantee it. And in addition to that, too, like, there's the added problem of Royval not being able to deal with Moreno's grappling. Moreno is incredibly durable on the feet. He can go toe-to-toe with literally anybody on the planet at flyweight. And now he's also going to have a grappling advantage. Because Royval, despite having some submissions, they're mostly reactionary submissions, right? You know, he tagged Kai Kara-France and jumped guillotine, and, you know, he did this and did that. All those things are great. But, like, you're just not going to submit Brandon Moreno that way. You know, Pantoja didn't. That fight went to split decision. And I think Moreno can just, you know, absolutely run over Royval that way. The late replacement aspect of Royval, also not good here, right? This was originally supposed to be Amiro Bazzi. I'm not wrong about that, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it was. Like, I don't count it as late because it's been, like, over a month. But, yeah, it is a shorter fight camp.
But it's a shorter fight camp for Mexico City. You know, like, right. And a guy who doesn't pace himself. Like, there's so many red flags here for Royval. And that's coming, again, I am a Brandon Royval fan. I love this dude. And I just can't see how he wins this fight.
All right. I agree. I always tend to go with the man who wins the first fight to win the second fight, because that's basically what the stats say to do. And I don't see why that would be any different in this case. So Moreno is the pick as well. Plus, for all the reasons Gumby said as well. All right, let's recap, and then we'll give you our fancy plays here. We both have Moreno. I have Rodriguez, Yair. He has Ortega. Both have Zellhuber. I have Rosas. He has Tercios. We both have Ha Reggie. We both have Torres. All right, locks, dogs, props, parlays, all that fun stuff. It's my turn to go first,
It's your turn on this one, yeah.
All right, lazy boy Rodriguez, the other Rodriguez, the guy from the prelims, is my lock at -110.
All right, I'm going to take Moreno. I know it's a big one. I just looked up and down this card, and there's a handful of people who I think are going to win pretty solidly, but if we're talking about actual locks, Moreno -260 is about as good of a line as you can get in a fight that I'm this sure about. So, I'll take Moreno as my lock of the week.
All right, dog. I don't have too many, and they're both on yesterday's Puelish +180, a big dog. But Gumby and I both agreed on that one, so I'll make it my official pick as a dog.
Yeah, I was close to picking Puelish too, but I'm gonna go with Jesus Aguilar. Despite the reach disadvantage he's got, I like his takedowns. I like the overhand right. I think he's surprisingly good boxing, and I think he pulls it out. That one's +134.
All right, we don't have a line for this yet, but I'm making it my prop. And there's, like, as Gumby said, there's not a heck of a lot of lines posted yet. We will update it once the lines are posted. Like Torres via knockout.
Via knockout.
Over Chris Duncan.
I thought about putting that down as my prop of the week and then being like, what if it comes out just the same exact thing as this money line?
I don't know. Duncan's only been finished once, so maybe I'm thinking it'd be a pretty.
But he's almost been finished every time he's fought. Like, so yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I like that one. I did have one written down that I had the odds for though, so I'm gonna go with Daniel Zellhuber by knockout. Even though he's
looking for that one, I didn't see odds for it.
I found it somewhere at +205.
Oh, that's nice. Nice
yeah, so despite being a -270 favorite, he doesn't have any finishes in the U, or he doesn't have any KO finishes in the UFC, right? He got that was it a Darce choke or an Anaconda last time? And I know that he doesn't have very many since coming to the UFC, but he does have a lot on the regional scene. He is going to be fighting a dude who's a little bit more stationary and stands in front of him. So I think this is the return to it here. When you add in that it's a fight at elevation and he's from Mexico City and Prado is from Argentina, you know, that could be even more of an issue for Prado. So I think +205 is a pretty damn good number. So I'm going to take Zellhuber by knockout.
All right. We'll recap those. We've got Moreno and Lazy Boy Rodriguez as our locks. Aguiar Puelish as our dogs. Zellhuber knockout. Torres knockout as our props. All right, Gumby. Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay. Two-fight parlay. What you got for us this week?
Oh, I'm going to start with Brandon Moreno, as I did with my lock of the week. But this time I'm going to go inside the distance on Brandon Moreno. I like Brandon Royval a lot. I can't see him going five rounds here at elevation with the way that he attacks the fight. I think Moreno gets the stoppage here. It's +175 on Brandon Moreno inside the distance. I'm going to pair that with Dos Santos on the prelims. Guy who hasn't gotten a ton of finishes by TKO, but man, did his striking really impress me last time out. And I'm seeing the number listed at plus 300 right now for him to get a TKO. So I'm going to pair those two together. That brings you to exactly 10 to 1. So I'm just barely skirting my own rules here, but I'm going to take Moreno inside the distance, Dos Santos by KO.
All right. Now you got everything you need to make some money on Saturday. We'll come back Sunday and we'll recap how we did, count all our money. In the meantime, we'll be hanging out in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Even if you don't watch us, hit the subscribe button. It will help us out greatly. Twitter is SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that for us. He's at Gumby Reeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there and on Instagram. Subscribe to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Enter my pick'em contest for this very event, UFC Mexico City. Win some stuff for free. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast. He interviews three people from this here fight card. Tell the people who you interview.
We talked with Daniel Zellhuber, who gave us a really awesome interview. He's a really fun guy. Talked to Manuel Torres and also Ronaldo Rodriguez. Also both great guests.
And you picked all of them to win. So there you go.
Ooh, I didn't even realize training. That. Maybe we do a top turtle parlay.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Someone in the Discord is doing it right now for sure after hearing that. And obviously hang out at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. I'm starting to forget how to talk. So Gumby's going to say goodbye to everyone for us.
All right. I'm Daniel Gumby Freeland. He's Lazy Boy Jeff Fox. And we'll see you on Sunday.